97.5, The Fanatic.
Oh, what's going on, everybody? 6:02 on a Tuesday night right here on 97.5, The Fanatic. Broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. I'm Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock. I'll be joined by Joe Torti at 8. And guys, Connor Thomas is producing the show. Great talk with Tyrone Johnson between the break. Same with Mike Missanelli. It's time, people, after 41 games, and I know it's too early for a session. It's time for our Sixers session. After last night's 101-95 loss to the Indiana Pacers, 7-14 on the road for this basketball team where many of us had super high expectations for this team after 41 games through 82, after the 16 wins, hopefully in the playoffs. And this team right now is on my nerves. The way they have been playing, yes, I know, 3.5 back from the number 2 spot, which is still very reachable. You can still get there. I know it. I've said it plenty of times. Talked to Anthony Gargano when he was in Dallas and last night when he was in Indianapolis to speak about just that. Hey, there's still only 2 games back. There's still only 3 games back. Now 3.5 games back behind the Boston Celtics for that 2 spot in the Eastern Conference. But what they've done so far to get to this point after 41 games, 25-16, unacceptable in my opinion. I am not overreacting. I know I'm not. I had high standards for this basketball team. I was not reaching when I said this team should get to the Eastern Conference Finals, are better than the Milwaukee Bucks, and get to the NBA Finals where they're playing in June, and we'll see what happens there. After the last 2 playoff runs that they had, losing in the second round in the semis, the way they lost in the semis to Boston and Toronto in both of those second round matchups, making the moves that Elton Brand did this offseason to position this team to not only have us, the locals, talk about it. Nationally, where we generally don't pay much attention to and don't give them much and say, hey, this is all us, we don't worry about them, they're outsiders. They saw it too, that this team, with Kawhi Leonard leaving the Toronto Raptors, LeBron James firmly planted in Los Angeles, we'll worry about him when we get to the June matchup against them in the finals. This team put in a perfect spot. Now, it's only 41 games. I know it, just like you do. But there are 41 games in which we evaluate the team at the halfway point. Brett Brown did it at the quarter mark. Brett Brown did it at the third of the season. Brett Brown did it that third of the season after the Milwaukee Bucks game where they won on Christmas Day. And what I termed after that win, the most impressive win of the season. Then they came back a few days later, beat the Boston Celtics on a Thursday night after a 4-game losing streak on the road, beating OKC on Monday, Boston on Thursday, their most impressive team win, especially with losing Joel Embiid, starting off with him for the first time, not available to the team. Now we look at where they are after that Milwaukee game quickly. 8 games since that Milwaukee game. 4 on the road. These last 2 on the road. 2 mixed in at home, OKC and Boston. Sixer fans, they are 2-6 since Christmas Day. I know we go 10, we do all that stuff. Yeah, I know. They are 2-6 since Christmas Day, this basketball team is. Once again, unacceptable. That goes along with the 7-14 road record that they currently sport. How are you 7-14 away from the center when you have what we thought and looks that way when you were at home, this talented group that can win anywhere, any style, any way you need to, because you have this many different types of pieces, 6'4 and up? 6'5", Josh Richardson, 6'5 and up. We thought they had it all. Two franchise-level players in Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. A fantastic core group of veterans from 5-year vet Josh Richardson, 8-9-year vet Tobias Harris, double digits for Al Horford, and a bench that is different than what we saw a season ago, where a lot of people were saying, hey, we have to improve this bench. They did it at the trade deadline. All right, great. You draft well by getting Matisse Thybulle. Okay, cool. Trey Burke, last-minute pickup. All right, fantastic. This team has everything. Smash mouth offense, bully ball defense. This is what Brett Brown termed things, how they're going to play when they get on the floor for the 2019-20 campaign. We've seen some of it. We have not seen it enough consistently to say that this team has that type of play and can continue to do that going forward. I'm frustrated with this basketball team. There are plenty of in the post shows that we've done after games where a lot of people would say, Devon, it's only a regular season game. This doesn't mean anything. You're overreacting. No, I'm not. I have high standards, and I'll repeat it. For this basketball team coming into the season, based off of what they did in the offseason, based on how they finished their campaign a year ago in the postseason, losing to Toronto in the fashion that they did, how frustrated they seem to be, how they attack the offseason to make sure it does not happen again. Bringing back the head coach, who many felt after Game 7 should have lost his job. Most saying, no, it's not a big deal. They got past what they did a year ago, and they needed a four-bounce shot from Kawhi Leonard to lose the game, lose their season, go into the offseason, and hopefully they're hungrier. Saw different stuff from photos of your big man, body chiseled, looking different. Your all-star point guard, videos being released about his outside shooting improvements, working on the game. One, two, three, four of them that were released in the summer that I said, I don't care. I don't want to talk about it, Joe Torti, while we were partners in the summer. I don't want to talk about that. I've seen it. Seen it with my own two eyes behind the closed doors when nobody else was there, lucky enough to be in the gym. I don't want to see it because I don't think he's going to do it. And here we go again, not doing it. And then I'm listening all day from the morning show, midday show, afternoon show. Come in, Mike's board is full, and I'm listening to Tyrone and Mike talk. Ben Simmons, Ben Simmons, Ben Simmons, Ben Simmons, Ben Simmons, and Ben Simmons again. I had to text a basketball friend of mine who we got into healthy debates at that draft some years ago when Ben Simmons and Brandon Ingram were the topic, and I said there was no topic, one and two. Number one is clearly Ben Simmons. Number two is Brandon Ingram, where it was clear to me that Ben Simmons was the number one pick, not only for the 76ers, but many others, but specifically for this team because this is what we worry about. This basketball team, he was the choice. He texted me a while ago, right around the start of the season, said, I'm telling you, I don't like this roster, and I still would have taken Brandon Ingram. While Brandon Ingram's team stinks, they're playing better than New Orleans Pelicans. He has a legit shot of being a real all-star this year for the Pelicans in the Western Conference. He's that good. Could the 76ers use that level of play that we're talking about? Absolutely. Skinny and all. And now here we are, 3 years in on the floor, 4 years overall. Many people are tired of Ben Simmons and want to trade him. These phone calls we were taking a season ago. And then my guy just texted me and said, remember, I wanted Jamal Murray over both of them. You're right. I remember that. My bad. It leads us to right now, 25-16, 7-14 on the road. Unacceptable. Questions abound, not just on the floor, on the bench, coaching staff, front office, ownership. They have stuff. They have problems. They're sixth in the Eastern Conference. No way in the world should they be sixth in the Eastern Conference right now after 41 games based off of what we projected this team out to be. Maybe we were wrong, simply wrong. I still don't think we were wrong. They have, well, I thought they had a really, really, really good team. Proving to be great, but really, really, really good team. 18-2 at home, 7-14 on the road, 25-16, half a game behind the Indiana Pacers in the fifth spot currently. They have a lot of questions, guys and gals, Sixer fans, basketball fans. They have a lot of questions. So with that, as we start things off tonight, going until 10 o'clock, Joe Torti in at 8. He has no idea what he's about to get himself into. It's session time, guys. First question I have for you, and I have a lot more stuff that I want to throw out, but we have to get to some phone calls. First question for you guys as we get ready to start things off. Plenty of issues. They clearly have some things they need to work through. What is your one main problem that you have with this Sixers basketball team after 41 games? One. Now, this could branch off into other things, but I need your one problem for this basketball team at the halfway point of the season, 41 games in, 25-16. For me, a ridiculous record at this point of the season. Ridiculous. 2-6 since Christmas. Those two wins at home, those six losses on the road. And guys, gals, they've given them to us in all kinds of ways. The close Orlando game, giving it up to Miami, blowout in Indiana, Houston, right? They've given it to you in a lot of different ways. So I want from you guys, gals, Sixers fans, basketball fans, all around, one, what is your one problem that you have with this Sixers basketball team after 41 games? 610-632-0975. Connor Thomas producing the show. Devon Givens with you until 10. The other part of it, to start things off, we're going to do this. I need a letter grade from you after 41 games. We do it in the offseason saying, hey, I give them a B+, A-. I want a letter grade after 41 games for this basketball team. I'm so disappointed in them that Dylan McKinnon, who we talked about this stuff before the show, told me I can't go with a D. So I'm going C- where they are right now, sixth in the Eastern Conference. It's unacceptable to have 16 losses, in my opinion, with the talent that you have. Unacceptable. They have one more thing before I get to the phone. I know. Sorry. I'm not sorry, but here we go. They have 14 games before the All-Star break. Their last game, February 11th, against the Los Angeles Clippers at home on a Tuesday night, I believe it is. 7 at home, 7 on the road. Right now, they are 25-16. I cannot wait to see what they do after 14 games by the All-Star break. The trade deadline would have already been gone, February 6th. I want to know where they are at that point as well. And they better be well above 500 after those 14 games. 7 on the road, 7 at home, where they play Brooklyn on the road, Miami they play, the Clippers, the Lakers, the Golden State Warriors. Say what you want about the Warriors. I'm just saying. The Atlanta Hawks on the road, who they have problems with for some reason. So that's where we're going to start tonight, guys. 610-632-0975. What is your one main problem that you have with this Philadelphia 76ers basketball team after 41 games? And I ask you for a letter grade to start things off as well with your question, your answer to the question after the 41 games. 610-632-0975. I'll just say right now for me, briefly, and we'll go along and I'll explain as we go. After 7 years, it's the head coach. And that's where we're going to start. Let's start things off on the phones. 610-632-0975. We go to Sean in Limerick. It's session time right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Sean?
Hey, Devon. Long time.
Good to hear from you, man.
Good to hear from you, too. I, Okay. So I guess to answer your question, this is what I'm trying to figure out. So, you know, watching the last two games, we played Dallas. Simmons was an absolute beast on defense, had some good dunks, really sort of, to me, dominated the first half of the game. And then clearly last night, so aggressive, driving to the basket. I'm not even talking fast breaks. Even in a set, he was driving hard. And then in the second half, he just disappeared in both games. I'm watching the game last night, and, you know, Josh Richardson's trying to take on, it's like 1-on-5, and I'm thinking to myself, why isn't Ben posting up? Why isn't he demanding the ball? I just can't figure it out. So to me, the issue is, you know, his aggressiveness and consistency and wanting the ball and wanting to be the guy at the end of the game, or, you know, create something for somebody else. He's sitting on the side, or at least get underneath the boards and get a rebound. I don't know if that's the coach or him or a combination of both. I can't figure it out.
And you know what it is, man? No one can figure it out. Only he knows, Sean, and you wonder, I mean, if he even knows at this point.
I'm not sure he does. He's got so much natural ability. And I know with the whole jump shot thing, and we've talked about it, you and I have talked about it before, but he dominated the first half of that game without shooting any jump shots.
It's ridiculous.
He's had that, all that talent.
Exactly.
And you got Brogdon Gordon, who's about 6'4", 6'5". Post him up. I just don't.
Totally agree.
I can't understand it.
Totally agree. So right now, yours would be to start things off. Ben Simmons would be your issue with this team right now.
Well, Ben Simmons / you know, the head coach.
Okay.
I mean, you know, Mark Jackson's out there. I think Mark Jackson would probably be a good fit for this team.
I'm not a fan.
No, all right. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Two guys that I think we should consider trying to pick up, and I don't know their contract situation. The kid from Washington, what's about 6'9", 6'10", Bertans.
Davies Bertans, yes.
And then the kid from Sacramento.
Bogdanovich.
Yes. Do we have a chance to get either one of them? I don't know what their contract situation is.
Well, real fast before we let you go, to start things off for Sean, letter grade would be first 41.
C, and I would tell you the next 14 games I see us going 7-7, unfortunately.
Not good enough. Thanks so much. And Sean, really appreciate you starting things off. Davies Bertans, free agent at the end of the season. I believe, I have to look his contract up, but I do believe that he's a free agent at the end of the year. I don't think that Washington will part ways with him because they may have just found a piece to go along with Bradley Beal, Rui Hachimura, and of course John Wall, if he's able to come back and be a semblance of who John Wall is, because it's going to be tough moving him with the contract with that injury that goes along with John Wall once he returns to the floor. Bogdan Bogdanovic is a restricted free agent at the end of the year. I don't know that the Kings are highly motivated to move him, but he wants good money. He plays the same position as Buddy Hield, who got good money this offseason. They're going to have to figure that one out. I would certainly look into it. I would welcome Bogdan Bogdanovic here. He would be the best shooter on this team, maybe even the third best creator on this team after Simmons and Josh Richardson for what he does on the floor. And you're going to have to get ready to pay him some good money. That one's going to be tough. But yes, I would love it if they could do that one. Sean, really appreciate you starting us off. 610-632-0975. He went with a C, and Ben Simmons and the head coach, his problem to start things off through the first 41. 610-632-0975. Dave in Center City. Session time, Dave. What's going on, man?
Yo, what's shaking, Devon?
Not the 76ers.
Well, all is not lost, but listen.
But it's a problem.
Before I get down to business, I'm back on the air February 12th with Mikey missing the 18th. But I want to personally thank you for bridging the gap. Another reason why 97.5 The Fanatic is the best sports talk show anywhere.
Okay, thank you.
Sixers points, sir. On the better side of things, they're probably going to finish with a 37-4 home record, maybe 36-5, which transcends down to they're not going to lose a playoff game at Wells Fargo. So we're guaranteed of seven game series.
37-4 at home, okay.
Devon, things are going to be fixed here. Listen to me. I know
I've seen them lose at home, so in the playoffs, by the way.
Right. But Devon, look, Brett Brown's head is on the chopping block. I'm not a fan of his. bad head coaches have won NBA titles before. For example, Tyronn Lue, Al Addles, Doc Rivers, Larry Fitch, Paul Westhead. It can be done. My grade for this club is a B.
B
as in Bravo.
I got you. Yep.
I love you, brother. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, man. Appreciate the call, Dave. 610-632-0975. Bad coaches have won. I agree with you. Guess what? Brett Brown might not get another shot here to win that with this team if he does not get past the Eastern Conference Finals. 610-632-0975. Session time, guys. It's really a problem for me with the 76ers are right now, and we need to talk about it. What is your one problem that you have in regards to this team after 41 games? And I need a letter grade when you guys call in. 610-632-0975. Goose, we got you first on the other side. Hang on. We'll come right back, and we're going to keep it rolling. Session time right here at 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
629 97.5 The Fanatic. Session time, guys. It's too early in the season for it, but it requires us to do it at this point. 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by, of course, Family and Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination. On the phones here for the session, 610-632-0975. Sixers question, guys, to start things off. They're 25-16. What is your one main problem with this team after 41 games? One main problem with this team after 41 games. 610-632-0975. And your letter grade when you guys call in, if you don't mind. 610-632-0975. We're keeping it moving on the phones. A lot of people want to get in, and we start off with Goose in South Philly. Session time, Goose. What's going on?
What's going on, D? How you feeling, brother?
Oh, man, trying to get through it with all you guys.
I can dig it, man. You got 3.5 hours left, man. Stay strong. but I'm going to start off with the first question was the letter grade, right? The letter grade I'm giving you guys is going to be a C-minus, bro. I mean, the expectations was too high. Where we are right now, if the season was to stop short right now, we was in the playoffs, we would have to travel. And that's unacceptable.
To the Miami Heat, by the way.
Unacceptable, and I don't want that matchup at all.
Nope.
And what's the second question?
Second question, your one main problem. There are plenty of them. So one thing that you have to lock in on that you have the most issue with.
My one thing is we don't have a true point guard.
Okay.
That's my one thing. With this offense, you need a true point guard. And I've been saying it, and I've been saying it. I've been telling. I told you a couple times. I told Gargano. I told Mike. But everybody told me to just calm down, relax, give it time. But here we are, a year and 2.5 of his 4-year career of actually playing basketball, and we still see the same thing from the first time he picked up a ball in the NBA. And it's frustrating. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The flip side to that is, how can you coach someone that don't, I ain't gonna say that don't want to be coached, but feel as though he already has it all. You understand what I'm saying? And that's what I think Ben's problem is. You can tell from that one preseason interview he did when he made his first preseason jump shot against the Chinese team or the Japanese team, whatever they were.
Yep.
And he said, well, I'm an all-star, so that don't really matter. So that mentality already right there.
I hated it when he said that.
I cringe so hard.
Now, he did double back and say, you know what? I know what my problem is. I know I have to get better, right,
back,
all that stuff. I agree with you.
And said, you were wrong for that, and let me go fix that.
Totally agree. So, that was the PR people doing their job, saying, you need to clean that up because that was ridiculous for you to say that.
his initial thing is what the truth was. And as human nature,
totally agree.
You never stop learning. You never stop learning.
Totally agree.
I don't care what profession you're in, what level of the profession you're in, you never stop learning. And with that mentality, I'm afraid to see him go, but like I said, if you get rid of the coach, who are you going to bring in to actually get this guy up out of his behind and say, listen, I can be great. I can be this level of great. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because right now, I'm not saying Brett not getting it out of him or he's not hearing it from Brett, but something's got to give, bro. And right now, being a 6 seed, going into the All-Star break, that's not good at all for me, bro.
Yeah.
So
thanks for joining the session, Goose. Appreciate it. Don't be a stranger. We'll talk to you soon, man.
I
appreciate it. C-minus, Goose went with, and that was mine to start things off as well. 610-632-0975. What's your one main problem with the Philadelphia 76ers? We're 41 games in, midway point of the season. Yes, we have not gotten to the All-Star break, and that's typically how people want to look at the midway point. Nope, not right now. 41 games in, and they have 16 losses, 25-16 in the sixth spot in the Eastern Conference. And as Goose just said a few times, unacceptable. Unacceptable with this basketball team. And I can't be upset when Goose calls in, and as we say, outside of the box, we may not have it written down in here, Connor, myself. You may not say it on the phones. So when Goose goes, I don't think they have a true point guard, and that's the problem. I can't be mad at that because that's Goose's opinion. We can debate it. We can talk about it. But when we look at 15-9-8 and say those are good numbers, he gives you 24-14 last night, 3 assists. And you say, oh, man, that's fantastic. You know, I heard Mike and Ty talking about it. And I even said this all the way back to the Orlando game, the first time they played them and lost when Embiid was out. And I'm like, yo, my man had a great stat line with 18 points, shot it very efficiently, but I needed 12 more shots because the game called for the best player to put up 12 more shots to get his team a win. Just like they said, when Embiid is not on the floor, it is his team. More often than not, he is the best player on the floor when Embiid is not on the team. He wasn't in the second half. That was Malcolm Brogdon or Josh Richardson. 610-632-0975. Lance in Mount Airy. He's checking in next in the session. What's up, Lance?
Hey, what's going on, Devon? How you doing?
Oh, man, we got a lot to talk about, Lance. What you got?
Yeah, man. So your first question was the biggest problem, right?
Biggest problem for the games through 40.
Okay, so my biggest problem right now is Ben Simmons. And I want to ask you this, and then I'll tell you why. As a fan base, do you think we overvalued Ben Simmons from the beginning?
No, because I think that what you thought you were getting was right. It was accurate. To think that what you were getting coming out of LSU, looking at what this team had already possessed with Embiid, nothing else really set in stone, right? So, Lance, you look at him as a point guard. You feel like, all right, he's a freshman. They didn't get to the postseason at his freshman year. That team was not coached well. The team wasn't put together right. He's going to come in here, and he's going to get better every year. So, Lance, I don't think any of us were wrong to think that he was going to be better after 2.5 years on the floor.
I say that because it's unacceptable. There's no excuse for your quote-unquote star player. Two straight fourth quarters, you go scoreless. And then even in that game last night, in the last 2 minutes of the game, he doesn't even look like he wants to touch the ball. Like, he's not a part of everything. And it's frustrating because he has so much ability, and it's like he doesn't want to do it. Everybody says the coach, Brett Brown, and everything. I'm tired of making excuses for this guy, man. It's at some point in time, he has to want to do it himself.
Here's where I really hated it too, Lance, when you talk about running away from the ball, wanting it. And Tyrone was talking about this during our crossover when he and I were chatting this up. He said, you know, not having that want the ball. Just think back to the Toronto game where they beat them here. It was a close game only because the Sixers were up big, but the Raptors were able to come back because they put that full court press on them, remember?
And I just don't get how can you be so aggressive?
Now look,
I was excited to see that yesterday.
Yeah.
I like aggressive. And then
it's gone.
On the line,
it's gone.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I don't get it either. Lance, I don't get it. And taking it back to the full court press, you can't give him the ball. because he cannot go to the free throw line.
And Devon, it's not even about, for me, it's not even about a jump shot.
I'm
just saying, and for me, this is what it is. What Ben Simmons lacks, you cannot teach. He does not have no heart. He's soft.
That's always tough to say. Lance, give us a letter grade, please.
C plus.
All right. You got it, man.
All right, man.
All right, Lance, you got it. Session, thank you for joining it. 610-632-0975. We're getting deep now because now we're going heart and all of that stuff and the things you can't teach. You're totally right, Lance. You can't teach those things. He's so great at it. That's the problem. The other things that you need to teach and learn, he's not learning. Aaron in Drexel Hill next in the session. What's up, Aaron?
What's up, Devon, man? How you doing, man?
Yeah, I need to talk to you guys tonight, man.
Your voice sounds like how my heart feels right now, man.
I got my hot tea and my water here. I'll get through it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, first and foremost, letter grade, you was correct. It is a D. It's not no C-. You cannot give this team any type of actual passing score based upon what we were projected to be coming into this season. And I'm going to give the D for two reasons and two reasons only at this moment. There are still multiple reasons, but right now, I put the blame on the head coach and our GM. And I put the blame on the head coach and the GM right now because for the past 2 years, our formula for success has been extremely obvious. You put shooters on the floor between Joel and Ben Simmons, and then you allow Ben to be able to create for his shooters and Joel to dominate in the paint. What illogical thought process went through their minds that said this was a smart idea to take yet another post player to put them on the floor with two guys who need to operate in a post between Joel and Ben Simmons was dumb. And you also ignored your bench. You bring back Ennis, you bring back Scott, two very nice players,
some vets.
But not the type of players that we needed to take it to the next level.
Right, man, real quick, I don't mind saying that you bring them back and you need them. I would just say you bring them back, but do other things around them to make their role much better where you're okay with it.
But I say the need because, and like the same time frame when we used to have Robert Covington on the team, we needed every bucket Robert Covington could possibly have given us. But we all knew he was extremely limited. He was a three and jack. Forget the D. He was a D and jack eye. You right? That's all he was. He just jacked up every shot because he had no other game to himself. You know? And so that kills me. My frustration level is it goes Brett, it goes Joel, and it goes Ben. Brett, because you are the off-court leader of this team, you have to scheme better ways of getting your players easy buckets. Your best players should never have a zero-point game. Frustrating for both Joel and Ben that they're not more aggressive players.
About that.
But as a coach, Aaron, you should not ever, ever, ever let your best player ever go a game and not get an easy bucket.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Joel's on-court leadership added to reflect.
He does not have any leadership.
No, that's what I'm saying.
So don't even.
What I'm saying. Like, you're the best player. You have to have some type of leadership. And then Ben, you have to be aggressive. One way or another, you have to be aggressive. Now, here's the conundrum we're in, and I'll finish off on this.
Okay.
The conundrum we're in is both of those players are too good to actually trade to any other team. You're not going to get equal value. No, Ben does not score, but his defensive versatility allows us to be the defensive team that we are. And you're not going to get no type of equal value for Joel Embiid, even though he does have injury history and is always hurt and always got something going on with him. You're never going to get his offensive production in the league.
Listen, man, great stuff in the session, Aaron. Thanks so much, man. Appreciate it. I'm sure we'll do this at some point later in the season, but right now it's required to do it today. 610-632-0975. 41 games in the books for the Sixers, halfway point of the season. What's your one main problem as we sit at 25-16 and your letter grade as well? 610-632-0975. Connor Thomas producing the show. I'm Devon Gibbons running until 10. Joe Torti in at 8. Right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
648, 97.5 The Fanatic. 48 minutes passed in the session already. That was quick. But we keep it moving. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock. My man Joe Torti, he will be in the session at 8 o'clock. Connor Thomas, we'll hear from him shortly to get his thoughts on the Sixers as well. But you guys are, hey, we're running it up on the phones. Free of charge here tonight. No charge. Session is free because we have to start early. And normally when we go into the session, as we ask the question, what is your one main problem with the 76ers after the first 41 games, 25-16, sixth in the Eastern Conference? We want your letter grade as well. And when you go into the session, you typically, like we did last year at the end of the season, you lay down on the couch, right? You talk it out. We figure it out. It's too early to lay on the couch. You sit in the chair in the session and talk it out. But as we go to the barbershop, you have to lean back a little bit in that chair. You know how you go get your shave and all, and they lean back and you get the shave, line you up as well with the razor. You got to go into the session in the barbershop and lay down for a minute in that chair. And we do that with Tone in the barbershop next on the Fanatic in the Session. What's up, Tone?
Devon, long time since the last time, bro.
Yes.
I miss you and D down at the center. Hopefully we'll get you down around playoff time.
We'll be back. Might see us this week. Might see us this week. But go ahead.
Yeah, hope so. My biggest problem is answers. Because there's so many darn questions. They ain't got no answers. Mm. That's my biggest issue. Answers with the coach. Answers with Ben Simmons. Answers with spacing. Answers with the little things. You know, Josh bringing the ball up, and you let T.J. McConnell strip you from the back. Come on. I mean, are you serious? And he's throwing his hands up in the air like he Michael Jordan. I mean, it just burns me up. Everybody knows the elephant in the room with Ben Simmons. Okay. Mm-hmm. I blast him like the TNT crew blasts him. All right, dude, if you're not going to shoot, guess what? In warm-ups, don't insult the fans at the center. Just shoot free throws. That's all I want to see you do. Shoot free throws.
Well, he does that coming out of halftime. Always goes to the free throw line first coming out of halftime.
I understand that.
I give him that.
Okay, but, you know, he's 80% shooting jumpers and threes before the games, too.
Yes,
all
he
right?
is.
Because I sit and watch him.
Yes.
And I'm like, you know, what is the difference between before the game and game? The whistle? That's it? Come on. You're 20 points in the half. All right? You know what, that boy out there in Dallas, you know why he's so good?
Luka Doncic.
If you're so intent on assists and you want to get everybody involved, then follow Doncic's model, okay? Always look, always see it where everybody is. And the other players on the team, they got to buy into that dude, too. You know, we had a guy named Doug Collins on the squad. How did that work? Because he was nonstop motion. This team, you know... You know, Devon, one of the things that drive me crazy, I don't understand why is it when they take shots, nobody is in the paint for a rebound. No one. When did that become the rule in the NBA?
Well, because they all live on the perimeter right now.
Okay, so if you're going to take that jack, let somebody get in the paint for a chance of a rebound.
Yeah.
A possibility. Yeah. Something.
Well, that's what you have that size for as well. You want them to crash, and to your point of why is he 80% before
the NBA?
Why is he 80% before the game and halftime and all that? Connor Thomas doing a great job producing, point to his head. It's a mental thing.
Exactly. And Brett Brown said, hey, look, I fail. I've talked to him. The GM talked to him. The fans talked to him. I'm sure when he's walking his dog, people on the street talk to him.
Well,
I know his girl talked to him, too.
If he failed, what's going to happen is he's going to fail and lose his job while in that process. So, Tone, give us a letter grade, please.
Well, you can't go below a D, so neither am I. I go with the C minus.
C minus.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
It's on his shoulders now.
It is. It is. And it's frustrating at this point. And he got it. Listen, man, we'll talk to you. Hopefully we see you this week. Thanks for the call, man. 610-632-0975. We're going to session in South Philly. Kevin next on the Fanatic. What's up, Kev?
Yeah, what's going on, Dwight?
It's time. It's early in the season, but we got to do it, man. Session time.
Yeah, man.
Let's go.
Halfway through the season.
Yes. So, right? Let's do it.
I give them half a season.
Yes, you did.
Right?
Yes, you did.
And it's halfway through the season. And they have no trust and no belief in one another.
That's the problem. No trust.
No trust, no belief in one another, man.
Now, look.
Not, no trust and belief in the coach. I'm talking from top to bottom.
Ooh, okay.
The players don't trust and believe in the coach. The coach don't trust and believe in the GM. Because if he did, when Trey Burke got here, why it took so long for him to get in the rotation? Right? If the players trust and believe in the coach, why are they always messing up the plays he call?
Huh.
You understand what I'm saying? They look like they don't know what they're doing out there. You know what I mean? And they don't trust and believe in each other, man. They don't know who's going to take the shot. They don't know who to give the ball. So you see how many stupid possessions we've had where we done.
Quite a bit.
Just like in the playoffs.
Quite a bit.
And when up you talk, against the shot clock.
Yeah, and when you talk about just not being smart, man, we've been talking about the turnover issue for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Last 3 years.
Turnover issue, play calling issue, players executing issue. That's trust and belief in one another. They don't trust and believe in each other. They don't trust and believe in the coach. And the coach ain't trusting and believe in the GM.
Here's why I don't like that.
They need to change.
Here's why I don't like that. Because you had so many different iterations of this team now since that 17-18 season that first got into the playoffs, all the way to Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris last year with J.J. Redick this year, the Bellinelli Ilyasova team, which you talk about trust. That was probably the one team that looked like it trusts each other the most. And now, what is the common theme, common denominator of all that? It would be your head coach and your two young stars.
Yep.
And that's a problem. Listen, man, give us a letter grade.
I give them a C-, man. I'm disappointed.
C-, yeah. C-. That's
disappointed, man. I expected better.
That's what we've gotten the most so far, Kev. Thanks so much for the call, man. We'll talk later. 610-632-0975. I like that one that Kev just threw at us. No trust. No trust at all. So that brings us to one of the other things that I want to talk about with you guys as well, with our question, of course, of what is the one main problem in regards to the 76ers after 41 games? The relationship of the head coach and the general manager. 610-632-0975. What is the relationship supposed to be of the head coach and a general manager? We'll talk about that on the other side. Right here in the session, 97.5 The Fanatic. Give me that funk of
fun. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.